Mini episode 1677 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 1677 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our spoiler-free review of Fargo Season 4. Here's our top 5 notes of interest about this incredible limited series. Number 5. This version of the Fargo anthology is set in Kansas City in late 1950 and early 1951 with a most unique concept. The dominant Italian and black crime families of the area, in order to preserve the peace, exchange the sons of the bosses of the families in a mutually assured destruction type of scenario. When mafia boss Don Donatello Fada suffers an accident, an insane series of events ensues from suspicions between the families. Giusto Fada is the son next in line to mind the store, but his insane, megalomaniacal younger brother Gaetano arrives from Sardinia and tries to force escalation into a full-on gang war at every opportunity. Loy Cannon, the boss of the Cannon Limited Black Crime Syndicate, is trying to keep his eye on the ball with a plan to invent something that we now know as the credit card and move his gang into legal waters, but finds himself constrained by circumstances as events spiral out of control. Number 4. The sprawling chessboard is the widest one of any of the Fargo seasons. Mix in a law enforcement odd couple, with one of them on the take, a secretly homicidal nurse, an elitist hospital boss, a swashbuckling pair of lesbian bank robbers, and the genius teenage daughter of a funeral home-owning couple caught in the middle of all of this. It's a challenge to keep all of this cohesive, but the writers largely accomplished that. Number 3. Unsurprisingly, for a show set as far back as the 50s, the prism of race hangs over everything. For a show that aired in late 2020, one of the more race-obsessed years in recent history, the timing was ideal for FX, although the timing was coincidental in terms of when it was conceptualized and filmed. It's hard to find a fresh angle on pre-civil rights era race relations, but Fargo puts the topic under the microscope in a truly thought-provoking way. Number 2. The cast is absolutely insane. Chris Rock is in arguably the lead role as Loy Cannon, but it's the depth of acting talent that is perhaps the greatest element of this project. One of our all-time favorites, Timothy Oliphant, is in a supporting role, fittingly, as a U.S. Marshal. Others of note include Jesse Buckley, Jason Schwartzman, Ben Whishaw, Jack Houston, Salvatore Esposito, Kelsey Asbill, and Glenn Turman. If we listed every great performance, though, we'd be here all day. There is a chance to see history in the making with the acting of Amiri Crutchfield, the young woman who portrays the moral center of the show in the breakthrough of what could be one of the great screen careers of the next several decades. Keep an eye on her. Number 1. Fargo Season 4 is very ambitious, like all other incarnations of the anthology, and there are some creative decisions that are polarizing, and so it's definitely a program that's not afraid to challenge the audience. Both the obligatory connection to the Fargo area and the obligatory connection to one of the other Fargo seasons do not disappoint. Having done a gang war scenario in Season 2, which is probably the greatest masterpiece of any of the seasons, it was risky to revisit lest the writers appear to be chewing the same food twice, but the presentation of the material was vastly different and entertaining in its own right. Again, Season 2 is widely regarded as the peak of the franchise and may actually be the greatest anthology of all time, but this season, like 1 and 3 before it, makes a strong argument to be considered the next best of this great franchise, and that is a great compliment. Thank you for joining us for this mini episode of the FDH Lounge.